Sitting by the Feet at the Throne of God, January 18, 2014, by Ernie Noll. In my dream, I am sitting on a large rock along a dirt path. A warm breeze is blowing. I am thinking about my life and the many different paths I have taken. I think of the many ups and downs, but most of all I think about the messages from God that I have been given and how these have changed many lives. Many now have a walk with God and with Jesus that they never had before. I think about the many people who email and share how their lives have changed. I think about Becky and our daughter, and yet I think of the loneliness I feel. Even with my family and those who stand and have stood with me over the years, deep down I have a loneliness that is a deep void. As I sit there, I am constantly thinking. It is as if, in my loneliness, I am pleading with my Heavenly Father. I am thinking about my great need to talk with Him, to be with Him. Yet what I am feeling is so difficult to put into words because of all that I have seen and experienced. I feel so alone and troubled in my walk with my Father. I feel a separation and the need to openly commune with Him. My thoughts are broken by the sound of a voice. I look up, forcing my face into a smile to mask how I feel deep inside. It is the same smile I wear so that those with whom I speak will not know how alone I am, or of my constant need to feel the love and see the countenance of my Father. I raise my head, forcing a smile to greet whoever is calling my name. As my eyes look towards the person calling my earthly name, I see a familiar face, and now I am addressed by my heavenly name. He is the angel I call the announcing angel. I have learned that he is the one who told me that he is not worthy to be called by his name, but that I should only call the name Jesus, and that his is the only name that should be called. I also know that this angel stands next to Gabriel, the angel I call the herald. He tells me to rise from the rocky throne I occupy on a path of dirt. He tells me to rise from this throne on which I sit in despair and with thoughts of loneliness. He places his hand on my shoulder and tells me that I have been told many times that I am never alone. He reminds me that all I need to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and he will send legions of angels to comfort me. He tells me that the great Comforter, the very one that Jesus said he would send, is always with me. The angel once again addresses me by my heavenly name and says, "Created of the Father, brother to the Savior, messenger of God, arise and serve our Father who is in heaven. Holy is his name. Arise, messenger, and serve." When I stand, he points to the right. I now observe a realm of holy angels descending. They are seraphim, and as I gaze at them, I realize that they do not have a body like other angels or humans have. It is as if they are comprised of pure energy. As they descend, I see that they have six wings. There are three on the left and three on the right. There is a set of wings just below their head, another set near the middle of their body, and the last set near the middle of what would be their legs. The wings do not move as feathered wings, but like a fiery flame. The wings move like separate wings of fire, and yet they are not fire. They are wings of pure energy that are a part of their bodies. Now I notice that as the wings move, they create a constant sound. The sound from the movement of their wings reminds me of the whirring noise a hummingbird makes as it flies. I think of the fluttering whistle made by a dove's wings when it flies away. I think of the distinct drumming sound a turkey makes to impress another turkey. However, the constant sound I hear coming from the wings of the seraphim is a soft, sweet, gentle, holy, holy, holy. I know that these special angels exude love. The announcing angel extends his hand and asks if I will allow these angels to escort me to a special prepared place. I lift my right hand and I ascend, slowly at first, and then I move very quickly with these angels. I do not speak to them, but only hear the constant sound of holy, 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 that comes from the movement of their wings. I am taken to what I know to be the middle of the great city. I am taken to a room that is in a room inside a room, that is inside another room, that is inside several more rooms. Next, I am guided to a small throne made of the purest gold. When I sit on it, I notice that it conforms to my shape. The throne is not hard, but soft like a pillow. I have never sat in a more comfortable chair. and yet I know that this is not just a chair, but a throne. A large realm of seraphim gather in this place. Now I also see a large realm of cherubim gather around the throne. These angels reach up and lift a veil from their back and cover their beautiful faces. The cherubim begin to sing of the holiness and love of the Father, while the seraphim's wings softly sing along. While sitting there, I understand that I am in a very special prepared place. I am made to understand that, in spite of what I am shown next, the Father is actually many chambers away. Otherwise, I would be instantly consumed by his presence. What I see next is very unique. The cherubim and seraphim change the way they present themselves. I notice the seraphim cover the top and bottom of their bodies. With the middle wings, they ascend to avoid touching the floor. The cherubim bow their heads. I instinctively kneel and lower my head as if I am about to pray to my Father. Then I hear a voice tell me to rise and sit on my throne next to him. Next to my throne, I see an enormous foot. I guess it to be about 8 feet long. It is a perfect golden bronze. I never thought of God having toes, but each of his toes is perfect and symmetrical. I gaze in awe at what I see. At the same time, the angels raise their voices to the great holiness. In my mind, I seem to understand the love very clearly. I know that the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, is love. He is the great comforter of love. I know that Jesus is the love of the love of the love. But here, next to me, is the actual source of all love. Here, next to me, is actually the source of all love. I am sitting next to the source of all that is love. I am overwhelmed and in awe to know that I am sitting next to my designer, my creator, my builder. I am amazed that I am next to the great I am and the source of all love. God speaks to me and explains that he prepared this place to meet, and because he is everywhere, he is also many compartments away. He tells me to listen and understand. He begins by telling me that he knows about my loneliness and how I so want to walk and be with him. He explains that he knows how we are going to feel before we begin a thought. God's family on earth, subject to temptations and trials, is very near to his heart of love. Signs of the Times, February 14, 1900. He tells me about his desire to walk and share so much. He tells me that we will spend eternity learning about what he and Jesus decided would need to be done to save us, his creation. He says that he sent Jesus to walk on this earth to be with us and to teach us. I now hear God tell me that he looks forward to the day when we can walk along a path together, and how he waits for the time when we can also sit and talk together. I now feel a love coming from his voice as he says he looks forward to the day when I can sit on my throne next to him. I know that I am not to look up at him, but only to look upon his most beautiful, perfect foot. I tell him that I also look forward to that day when I can sit next to him. I hear that perfect voice, which is the source of all love, call me by my heavenly name. He tells me that while he looks forward to that day, I need to understand that I have been called to sit next to him as a messenger. What I have heard is not a message only for me. He wants everyone to understand what I have heard. His foot moves a little, and he tells me to share that he knows each of our thoughts. He says, "Tell them I know the loneliness each of you feels, the separation that kindles like fire in your heart, the desire to walk with me, the desire to sit with me. I, too, want to walk and sit with you." God tells me that he knows that each of us struggles and battles with Satan's temptations every day. He knows and hears the regret in our thoughts afterwards. He knows the weariness we feel, as if we are each lost and longing for love, the longing for an arm, a soft voice, or a hand placed on the back. Know that God, his Son Jesus, and the Great Comforter are there, always with you. Just call on them. When needed, in the name of Jesus and through his blood, command that Satan and his angels depart from your presence. Decide in your heart to walk away from the temptation. Take the first step, and the Lord will be there to pick you up and carry you. He loves you, and you are his own. Jesus paid the greatest price for you. Next, I hear God call my heavenly name and say, I look forward to the day when I can wrap my arms around each of my children. You are my child, and there is not a day that goes by that I do not hear your thoughts. There is not a day that I do not cry, that I do not laugh. I am there when you fall to pick you up. I am there when you are sick. I am there when you are playing. I am there when you are working. I am there watching you sleep. There is not a day that goes by that I am not standing next to you. I am there at your darkest and loneliest hour. I stand there with my arm around you, even though you cannot see or feel my arm around you. You are my child, and I love and want to care for you. My children, I am your father, and I love you. I now fully realize that this message is not just for me, but for each of his people. It is a message for those who want to know and accept it. The Father continues to tell me that he is about to instruct his angels to begin their final work. The plan that he and Jesus put together is about to be completed. The universe stands watching with attentive eyes and ears. Angels stand ready to move upon the earth to do God's bidding. He tells me that I have been shown that Ezekiel 9 will be fulfilled soon. He tells me that he wants to show me something so his people will understand. He tells me that he will soon send his angels of mercy to lay many to rest, so they will not have to go through the events that are about to take place during a time such as has never been seen before. He tells me to watch. I look up, and to my right I see what looks like a cloud, but it is a clear image, like a video of what is to happen. The Father tells me that this will happen at his command. In the blink of an eye, I see many islands of different sizes drop below the surface of the water. As I watch each island, it is as if someone simply grabbed it from deep underneath the ocean and quickly pulled it down. Each island goes down so quickly that the suction from the sinking of each island takes down anything that floats. Instantly, everything and everyone is gone. I am told that each is laid to rest faster than the islands disappear. Each of the faithful involved will know nothing about it until the great voice of Jesus calls them up from their graves at his second coming. For others, it will be when Jesus calls them up for their judgment after the millennium in heaven. He tells me that many of God's faithful will think they must flee from the islands to a mainland in order to find refuge. However, God's angels will still lay them to rest, no matter where they are or where they go. He tells me that all and everything is according to his plan. Blessed are those who rest until the day they are called to meet their Savior when he comes to this earth the second time. Next, I tell the Father that I need to ask something on behalf of two individuals. He tells me that he already knows my question and that he has heard their thoughts and prayers. He tells me that two brothers, Nelson Cruz and Christopher Cruz, both received invitations to serve God with the For My People ministry. But in time, each one ripped up his invitation and abandoned his calling. Because of this, they began to walk like Hazen Foss, who rejected God's call just before Ellen White accepted hers. Some had asked what to do about both brothers. So God gave instructions to me that their church should make the decision. He said, it should be understood that as they walked away from me, with one hand I held on to their coat strings, and in my other hand I held another invitation. I know whom I call, and that they would return to serve. If one brother accepts the invitation, he will serve and lead as one example of the pastor in the dream, the senior pastor. If the other brother accepts the invitation, he will serve the way he has been instructed, through the gifts that would be poured out through the service of his wife, Marisol. God would choose these two to lead by serving together as one. Next, I notice the Father again moves his foot. He reminds me about the time he opened the windows of heaven and gold coins fell out to allow the For My People ministry to do what God had asked. I then seem to know that God raises his right arm, and the herald who is Gabriel immediately comes before God. The announcing angel stands to the right and just behind Gabriel. The guide angel stands behind them and to the left. Many archangels stand behind the guide angel. Standing behind them is what I want to call a squadron of angels dressed in battle gear. This large group is dressed to destroy. Another squadron is dressed in a way to comfort. Another squadron is dressed to protect. I look at many other squadrons that are brought forward to serve as they are informed and instructed. Now I hear the father address Gabriel, who immediately kneels. I listen as God instructs him to send certain squadrons of angels to those whom God selects. Along with those squadrons, God sends the Holy Spirit. He explains that the Holy Spirit will speak to those who have been selected to sail excess items, such as homes, land, and items of value, or to give extra funds to be placed at God's throne. Those who obey God's voice will eventually have nothing of earthly value. They will have squadrons of angels to provide for them and protect them, even if it means moving them quickly from place to place for protection. This reminds me of Philip, who is mentioned in the Bible as moving quickly from one place to another. The faithful will be instantly moved when necessary as God's wrath is poured out. The Heavenly Father speaks the following: To those who hear my voice, who hear my messages and scoff at my instructions, woe will be multiplied unto them 70 times 7. I will remove and destroy all their earthly treasures. I will then command them to be without possessions and without heavenly protection. Satan and his angels will be allowed to harm them. Those who do not heed my call will stand as if in an ocean, with their possessions a burden, like a heavy yoke about their necks. God continues, Those whom I ask to give all but refuse to do so will curse their earthly idols. They will turn and spit upon them, but it will be too late. Those who hold on to anything of value should place it before my throne now, otherwise these items will be taken from them, and the weight of their value will become a curse. Isaiah 2 verse 20 tells us, In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. The Father instructs the following, Place a squadron of angels around each of those who are poor and have nothing but a heart of pure gold. Protect and care for these who are my precious jewels, these who shine brighter than any sun. As the waters rise, move each of them to safer ground. As the earth opens, move them to solid ground. As the elements fall, move them to sheltered ground. Keep these precious gems shiny, because they will sit next to me on my throne. Then the Father gives another command to the herald. Send forth my destroying angels. Release the winds that are held in check. Let Satan once again fear for his own existence. Let the earth feel my wrath, but keep the angels in check. Save my people until I send my Son to redeem his own. I raise my hand to ask a question. All becomes silent. I know God is looking down at me. He says, Ask your question so all can hear. I have my response prepared for you. I ask, Are you sending out the angels to destroy and send down the fireballs now? He responds, Tomorrow I will send my Son with clouds to redeem those he purchased. The next day we return to make the earth new. My time is not your time, and my day is not your day. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The Father adds, At this moment I ask those who give of themselves to give now, because the final work must be accomplished. I could simply create all the gold coins as easily as I created the gold that the gold coins are made from. However, each individual needs to show that they are willing to do their part. How can I have pastors come forth to serve without sufficient funds for them to serve? Those who are called to dig a ditch will need tools. How can those who dig do so without shovels? Let those who want fireballs, those who wait for a Sunday law, and those who want to see the events they have waited for so long, give all they can. Those who give will need nothing, because they will be moved from place to place on the wings of angels to serve as witnesses before the assembled universe and to testify to the fulfillment of my promises. They will be placed where they will be unharmed, in the arms of safety, to witness events never before seen. I now see Gabriel stand and address angels without number assembled before God's throne. After what seems like one spoken word, all the angels are instructed to depart. Gabriel then turns to the seraphim and instructs them to take me back to where I am to prepare this message. I hear the Father address me again. He calls me, Ernest, and then says my heavenly name. He explains, "In the courts of heaven your name is heard spoken many times, because many prayers are spoken on your behalf. If both you and Becky remain faithful, I promise to bind you as friends for all eternity, no longer male and female, but as one. Where you are, she will be. Where she is, you will be. You will both travel together forever. Your heavenly names will reflect each other's as in a mirror. For this time now, I create many new angels of the same kind." Instantly I see in front of me the forming of these new angels. They stand about 35 feet tall and are massive. Each one holds a long shaft in their right hand. The shaft is about a foot in diameter and has the appearance of pure energy. I cannot quickly count these new angels who stand before me. They are immediately instructed to always encircle Becky and me and to provide special protection, in addition to what the already serving guardian angels provide. I know that no evil angel could penetrate through these angels, and that all who are within the circle of these angels are safe. Even the angels that are within the circle of these angels are safe from Satan's attacks. From Sons and Daughters of God, page 36. The angels' work is to keep back the powers of Satan. I only hear God speak a few words because the new angels already know how they are to protect. Immediately I am encircled, along with Gabriel, the seraphim, and many other angels. We are placed within a cluster of angels, like in the middle of a ball shape. Each new angel holds his large staff in his right hand. Alan White wrote, "The angels are commissioned of God to guard, to encourage, and to bless humanity, to help us in every way possible to resist the temptations of Satan." The Youth's Instructor, November 12, 1896. I now see what looks like a red barn. Gabriel says that previously the gold coins fell from a window. Those funds were to allow Becky and me to serve. However, now it is time to begin to serve even more. It is time to call those who will serve, as in the dream, the senior pastor. It is time to heal those who need healing. The herald grabs the barn door and begins sliding it open. "Here," he says, "is what was placed before the Father's throne. Here are the means to do the work that is needed. Here are the means. He is the way." As Gabriel slides open the barn door, the coins are so numerous that they do not stop falling. Gabriel explains that great are the riches of the Heavenly Father. Upon those who serve, he will pour forth incomprehensible blessings. The herald walks over to Becky and me. He hands each of us a rolled piece of paper with what looks like a pure gold ribbon around it. We unwrap it, look at each other, and read instructions from God for us.